Shall we now turn to the letter of Jude, chapter 1. Letter of Jude, chapter 1. And you'll find it just before the book of Revelation. Just before the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. The title this morning is, Some Have Crept Into the Church Unaware. Some have crept into the church unaware. To whom is Jude writing this letter? He's writing to those that are sanctified, meaning to those that are separated by God from the worldliness and sin. When God calls a person to become the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, he forgives them their sins. He makes them give up their sins. They that are called by God stop doing things that they used to do. They begin to have firm belief in God and his Son Jesus Christ. Their lives change and their character is transformed. They become a new person. They begin to hate sin. They begin to understand the sinful world and their own sinful nature, and they now taste the freedom from sin and understand how sin works. They realize that God preserves them from sin. They realize that God protects them and gives them the grace to overcome sin. They experience a new power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ working in their lives. And it is all for real. They truly understand that they are called, they have become the adopted children of God. So Jude says in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them, meaning I'm writing to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Jude carries on, verse 2, Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, meaning thoroughness, earnest interest to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend, meaning stand with resistance, stand against the opposition for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Stand with resistance. Stand against the opposition. Earnestly defend. Why? Verse 4, Jude answers, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are certain men, he says, have crept in unaware. Jude sounds like a modern conspiracy theorist. This man, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that certain men, he is not naming them, but he is making us aware that certain men have crept in unaware in the church. Jude in the beginning of his letter tells us that he was eagerly planning or was making every effort to write to them about the common salvation. In other words, he was planning to write about our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps he would cover up many other doctrines that Christ has given to us and the commands and how we must conduct ourselves and respond to the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. But he says, I found myself compelled. I found that at this point it was absolutely necessary to write to you that we should be earnestly defending the faith and resisting the opposition that is working against the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was he compelled to do this? Because certain men have crept in unaware into the church. Now, what happened to Jude is quite common to the preachers of the Word of God. There are times when the servant of God begin to prepare a message, let's say for the Lord's Day, then suddenly he finds that he is not progressing further, and suddenly he is given a compelling thought to preach on something else, and it just runs smoothly. Or he has been writing a message with a theme, and he finds himself, as he is reading on the scripture, he is strongly carried away to write or stress on something else within the passage. For example, on the Lord's Day, gone, I began to prepare to show God's mercy and justice over the nations of the world, beginning from Genesis chapter 14. But as I progressed, I was moved away from this theme and caught myself talking about Noah and how he got drunk, became naked, and Ham made public his father's shame. Preachers of the Word of God, pastors should take comfort in the Lord, for he has shown us that this happened to one of his servant, Jude. Certain men have crept in unaware. To our modern mind, this would sound like a conspiracy theory. Having heard from Jude, there is such a thing as man creeping into the church without we being aware, many would not take this warning seriously. Perhaps many of his days even said that Jude is a conspiracist. Perhaps they said there is no such thing as infiltrators in the Church of Christ. After all, they are all talking about God and Christ Jesus. After all, they are all talking about the love of God and to love our neighbors. After all, they are talking about social justice and equality of all, and that Christ is the liberator of the poor. After all, they are only saying that we should be rejoicing and dancing like David did. Did not David dance naked before the Lord? They say, no. No, he did not dance before God naked. This is what his wife, Michael, said about David. But David was wearing a linen ephod, which was the humble dress of the priest, and even Samuel wore it. You will see that those that creep into the church with different agenda begins to interpret the Bible like Michael, David's wife. They twist the Word of God. Perhaps, or other people who creep in unaware into the church twist the Bible. They bring the world into the church. They bring in worldly ideas of evangelism. They bring in worldly ideas of worship, and they twist the scriptures according to their own mind for the benefit of their greed and pleasures. They are not interested in the Lord God of the Bible. They are not concerned about the commands of the Lord or to put on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, they operate in the flesh. And they cater to the desires of their flesh. They are proud and arrogant. They demand to interpret the Bible as and how they want to. They insist upon their human rights. They call it progress. Progressive theology. What are they progressing to? I was moved to speak on this portion of the scriptures when I watched a video last week of a certain church, a mega church, a rich church, a filthy rich church, where not only heresy is preached, but even sexual immorality is catching up among leaders. Is this what Jude means when he says that certain men have crept in unaware? To creep in unaware means to enter in secretly. When does a person enter in secretly? When a person is not supposed to be there. When a person does not have the right to be there. When a person is not of their own. A person also creeps in secretly when he wants to cause damage to those who are gathered there. They enter in secretly, pretending to be one of them, but actually their motive is to harm this particular group. This person tries to look exactly like them. He speaks the same language of the group. He shows the same enthusiasm, in fact, a little more. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ describing the false believers. He describes them like the tares growing along with the wheat in the field. Or the Lord describes such a person like wolf in sheep clothing. Now please don't misunderstand me and think I'm pointing to some of you present here. No, not at all. Not at all. Honestly, I want us to know the things that the Lord warns us about. And this warning has to be taken very seriously so that we in turn may warn others. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." Apostle Paul warned, saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Look, these may sound good. They may sound honest, doing with good intentions, but there is deceit working in them, and they hate what the Lord is saying, for it goes against their personal gain. It is important to know these false teachers parading as faithful servants of God. The reason why these men must be exposed, because you may be listening to them. You may be listening to them. You may be taken up by them. They sound good. It looks glamorous. Entertaining. You feel good. The sound is good. The lighting is good. So we must be careful. Very, very careful. God wants us to test every spirit by His Word. But if you do not read the Word of God, how will you measure them? By what yardstick will you test them? If you're a person who inspects the strength of the house, of a building, If you are an inspector as to how long it will be in good shape, you've got to measure it by the principles set by the housing industry. You measure the strength of the wall and the substance therein by certain yardstick that is set for you. So also we can only test a preacher by the standards set by God in His Word. In His Word. However, if you don't read, if you don't study the Word, how can you judge? If you only listen to the music, the hymns, the songs, the Christian songs, which feels good and nice, but you don't measure it with the Word of God, how can you be able to test what they are saying, what they are teaching? How can you judge? It is like a wall, well painted, looks good, and you say, oh, I want that house. It is so beautiful. It looks so good, but actually inside there is no strength at all. There is no strength. It may last for maybe 5 or 10 years. You'll be deceived because you only looked at the outside and you did not check whether they are solid from within. Whether their faith, their teaching, their hope is founded on the rock Jesus Christ. Similarly, a false preacher, a false pastor who has crept into a church may pretend to be fervent in the things of the Lord, but his actual aim is to climb the leadership. Or he may patiently wait for his opportunity. Once he gets the opportunity, for some time he will preach exactly the same thing that the true leaders of the church have been preaching. Then suddenly he strikes. And we have seen this happening in these days. And we say, wow, he is to be so fervent in preaching. He is to be so good. What has happened to him suddenly? His gospel message turns opposite to what the scripture says. And brethren, we must be aware of what's happening in the world, in the church. We cannot live in these days without being aware. There's turmoil taking place. There's infiltration. Look, Jude says in those days, certain men have crept in unaware. It is even more these days. So he describes this person who has crept in secretly. Look at verse 4. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, these were ordained. It was written about them beforehand that such will be condemned. This would be judged and condemned. These are ungodly men, meaning they had no reverence for God. They had no fear of God. It was all about glorifying himself, pushing himself forward. Ungodly men with personal ambition, these would take the church forward, pushing to make the church grow in numbers by hook or crook. It doesn't matter. We want numbers because that's what he wants, to be glorified by people, to be approved by people. Jude adds more to this. He says, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? It means lusting after things of this world, lusting after the pleasures of this world without any self-control. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. Self-control. They do not feel ashamed of gathering wealth. They do not feel ashamed of sexual immorality. They will practice any kind of wickedness as long as their desires of the flesh are fulfilled. Look at the mega churches where their leaders are filthy rich, accumulating property, cash, have friendship with political leaders and celebrities. You see, they use all these personalities to enhance their own image, so that people will think, wow, what a great church. Politicians come to their church, celebrities come to their church, singers, musical performers, artists come to their church. It must be good, is it? No, dear friends. They use luxurious cars and constantly they go on holidays. They even have personal jets, personal hairdressers, and hug themselves with branded clothing. Then the world finds out that they have been sexual predators, child abusers, homosexuals. If not homosexuals, they have no objection to this kind of practice, and they openly preach that Jesus is not the only way, that there is no hell and no condemnation because God is love. They begin to preach that as long as you love God, you can do anything. Whatever you feel, you do it, just do it. No one should judge anyone. Only God is the judge. And by this attitude, they turn the grace of God into lusting after the pleasures of the flesh without any self-control. Next, Jude adds, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How are these denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ? They deny God and His Son by going against His commands and His authoritative word. They go against the order set by God for His church. The Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ, has given us a command that we should not be lascivious. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, if you love me, then you will love my commands and keep them. But they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Many church leaders don't believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. No, they don't. Many church leaders and preachers do not believe in the triune God. These preachers believe that a person can go to God and enter into heaven in their own personal way without Jesus Christ. They deny the Lord's word, who clearly says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father but by me. But look, even after thousands of them who have gathered in that church building, this mega church, even when the founder of this organization, of this church, says that Jesus is not the only way, people still gather there. So are they Christians? No. Are they believers in the Word of God? Cannot be. Or they are so dumb that they have never read their Bibles. They have never ever heard that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. They deny that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. They deny that man is a sinner and is in need of salvation. There's no mention of sin by these preachers who deny Christ. For example, we have a church And it is, you know, the world knows about this church, the Hillsong. They attract young people by stage performance. They attract these people by bringing in celebrities on their platform. They attract people to their church by using modern hip-hop culture. Their clothing, their lifestyle, their hairstyle, their preaching is all about you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. It is all about making people feel at ease. There is no warning, not much reading of the scriptures, not revealing of God's holy and righteous attributes and character. There is no talk about holiness and putting on the mind of Christ. Look what the Bible says as to why the scripture is given to us. Why is the scripture given to us? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, if the preacher is correcting you and me through his word, instructing us in the way that we should be righteous, giving us the commands of the Lord, making it enter into our ears, that is what the Bible is for. That is what the church is all about. That's why we come for Bible study and on the Lord's Day to be instructed in the way of the Lord so that you and I may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's not only to grow in knowledge, but good works. Good works. If you don't find this done in the church that you are attending, stop right now and look for a church, although not perfect, will without shame and without fear proclaim the word of God as it is. Go to the church where God is put first and not man and material of the world. And listen, if you listen to some of the testimonies from these churches, it is all about having fun. Oh, it was so lovely. It is so good. We used to have fun until the day he put his hand in my, you know, and molested me. It was such fun, enjoyment. And we were helping out in the church, doing cleaning and arranging chairs, doing babysitting for the pastor's wife. Well, to do good is good. Helping out others is not bad at all. But where is the testimony of Jesus changing their lives from being sinners to be transformed to live a righteous life? Where is the testimony of turning away from wickedness and rebellion and becoming submissive to the Savior? If there is no change in your life, in your belief, you cannot be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a church becomes a place of social gathering, a place to have fun and good feeling, a place to feel like how you feel at the nightclub or at the one of the mega musical shows, you cannot, dear friends, call it a church, can you? Cannot. So what type of a person do you think will take the people in this direction, towards this direction? What kind of a pastor, what kind of a priest, a prophet, a bishop, a pope will take people in this direction? What type of a pastor or a Christian leader will say that Jesus is not the only way to be saved from sins and go to heaven? What type of a pastor will say that God is not so evil to put people to hell? What kind of a pastor will say that God loves all sinners and continue to love them even when they are breaking all his commands willfully. What type of a man of God will tell their people that I cannot correct you, judge you, your action as right or wrong, when God has clearly commanded all his people to walk in a certain way and believe certain things? In the Old Testament, God gave his people the Ten Commandments. God demanded that they walk by it and be blessed. In the very beginning of creation, God told man that he created, he told him not to eat of the tree of good and bad, good and evil, for in the day that he eat of it, he will die. In the very beginning, God warned, because he loves us, because he knows there's a danger. There's a danger. There is evil outside who will try to penetrate into the Garden of Eden, into the church of the saved ones. Surely men that fear God and are filled with awe of God's holiness and righteousness will not say such a thing and teach people opposite of what God says. This means this man, this woman who have taken up the leadership never knew God. Never knew God. They were never converted to God. They never experienced the forgiveness of their sins. Their life was never transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They themselves were riddled with flaws. They had weaknesses towards certain sins which they were never able to conquer by the grace of God. They never believed that the Word of God is truth. So they preach and believe what the sinful world believes. These are ungodly men, says Jude. These are ungodly men. Now, let us be aware, to be fair, that there are two types of people that creep in the church. One, these are men who have love for doing good. They do understand that God is good. They may be moved to do social work and good works, and the only way they find to do this is to go and become a priest or a pastor. Now, I was such a person. When I went to become a Roman Catholic priest, it was the interest in God and good works towards the poor and needy that led me to go and become a priest. The intentions were good. Now, for such a person as me, putting God and his will would not be the priority. Why? Because I did not know his commands. I did not have enough knowledge about him. I did not have his Holy Spirit to teach me and convict me of my sins. I did not have the power to overcome sins. I did not hate sin. For a person such as I would easily condone men's certain sins. I myself had weakness to sins. God's judgment and his hatred towards sins just did not come on the front line of my consciousness. It did not prick me and make me feel uncomfortable. Such a person may worry about not so much the act of sinning, but what if he's caught sinning? That's a big difference, isn't it? You will freely do what you should not do, even if you're robbing. You keep on robbing. You're not afraid to do that. It does not convict you. Oh, that is wrong. You shouldn't be doing. God has commanded us not to do. But what I will be afraid of is, what if I get caught? So I fear men and the consequence of being put to prison by men. But I don't fear God. I'm not afraid of his holiness. But then God, in his mercy and kindness, saved me from my sins. He gave me His Holy Spirit. I became born again of God. I found that God forgave my sins and took away the very weakness I was in bondage. And from then on, I began to fear God, began to fear to sin. From then on, I was sympathetic to those who are in the bondage of sin, but I'm never able to condone it. No. I must speak the truth about the Lord. I must warn people of their sins. I must tell the truth that God will judge and will condemn if we don't repent of our sins and if we will not submit to His will. And also, I have the confidence to tell God is able to save us from our sins, to deliver us from our unrighteous works. You see, a person goes to become the preacher of the Word of God without being converted to Jesus Christ, without being born again. Such a man can turn away from the teachings of the Bible. Yes, he can. After I got married, I told my wife, "What has Jesus suffered? He has not suffered anything." Comparing to the political activist who suffers so much of pain. You see? Because I had no idea of what Christ has gone through to save me. The wrath of God was poured upon Him. My very sin, the sins of the whole world and the hell was poured on Him, on Christ Jesus, on the cross. But for me, it was nothing. Because I did not experience the forgiveness of sins. I did it through ignorance. You see? So when I went to become a priest, it was not a planned entry into the church to destroy the church. And I don't think Jude is talking about these kind of men. They had good intentions, but they did not have God in them. They did not enter into the church for this ministry to destroy the church and His word. Of course, ultimately, I may say, what is this God? What is the scriptures? There's nothing. The second type of men who enter into the service of God are those that strictly, deliberately enter to become a priest or a pastor in order to destroy the church, to corrupt the people who come to church. Their interest is to twist the word of God and give a worldly interpretation of the Bible. Their whole aim is to destroy the Bible and make it look useless, a myth, a lie, and of no effect. They conspire against the Lord God and His Word. Well, I have never looked at the word conspiracy in the Bible, although I knew there is this word conspiracy. But for the first time, I looked into how many times the word conspiracy is found in the Bible. To my surprise, I found that it appears 10 times. 9 times in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. What is the meaning of conspiracy? In the Old Testament, it means treason. Treason. It means an unlawful alliance, a confederacy to do evil. A confederacy to do evil. What is the meaning of treason? It means disloyalty. It means betrayal. It means treachery. So conspiracy basically means to get together to do evil. It means to form an alliance to betray and harm. We read in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 30, the Lord saying, "These steal my words from the people." They steal God's word. Their aim is to destroy God's word from the minds and the ears of the people. Although the word conspiracy is not used there, but it is there. That's what it means. Jude is talking about this kind of people. They have crept in being unaware. They have crept in secretly, and their aim or agenda is to sabotage the work of the Lord and to damage the name of the Church of Christ and to do away with the Word of God. Oh, dear friends, brethren, conspiracy is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. It is happening all the time, in peacetime and in wartime. It is taking place among nations, among multinational companies, among different groups, and against the kingdom of God. If it is going to take place between the nations and multinational companies and groups and things like that, you think Satan will be sitting quiet? After all, that's where it all comes from. I read Psalm 2. But the fact that there are men and women that preach and teach different gospel consistently, especially in these days, and that their numbers are growing, how is it happening? Where do these men and women come from? Suddenly they crop up with different gospel. It goes to show that there is a conspiracy against the Lord, against the church. Read Psalm 2. But let us look more into it when we come next. But let it be known, the gates of hell, Jesus said, shall not prevail against it. Let us pray. O loving Father, protect us, O Lord our God, protect our mind, and help us, O Lord our God, to give due diligence, our time, our energy, to keep our soul secure in Thee. Even as the first commandment says, the greatest commandment, that we should love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our body. O Lord, that we may do so and love our neighbors as ourselves. We make this prayer, Father, in the most precious name of our Lord and mighty Savior, Jesus Christ, for His name's sake. Amen.